this episode hopefully can encourage others the way it's encouraging me right now to stop and just think like, I wonder what the history was behind this decision, and I wonder what would make it actually a better, more pleasing experience for everyone. Welcome back to Bamboo and Glass, where we share the underrepresented perspectives that shape our lifelong journey of learning and unlearning. I'm Tan.
And I'm Sophia. We've been in a long-distance friendship for 9 years. We never went to the same school or lived in the same city. And since graduating from college, we've been doing this podcast together, and it's been a really fun way to stay in touch about things that we're reflecting on and thinking about as we go through our adult life. If you are new, I wanted to let you know that new episodes are released every Sunday wherever you listen to podcasts. And you can follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Bamboo and Glass to see memorable quotes from our episodes. Throughout the last few years, we've had many fun episodes about various digital products, especially social media products like TikTok, Clubhouse, Instagram, Be Real, and Paparazzi, which we can link in the episode description below if you want to listen to those episodes. And that got us thinking about products that we use every day, both digital and physical, and what makes them delightful or also deceitful. So, Tan, this is a really fun idea that you came up with, and I'm really excited to hear the things that you use in your daily life, because I think it's always fun to compare like typical taken for granted routines and what you use for them versus what I use for them.
Yeah, definitely. I think that there is something really fascinating about everyday design. It's a lot of stuff that we can take for granted. And so it's nice to get a chance to just take time to recognize what just convenience or entertainment they have given us. And I used to do this in an old HCI, human computer interaction class at Stanford. And it was such a fun way to set the mood of the class to just be more observant around the world and to see what's been really helpful and what is kind of confusing, and just stop there and be like, why is this confusing and what could make this better? I'm usually most fascinated with design that is mechanical, because I'm like, there are sometimes just little movements that we're comfortable with, and there are products that we're so used to using, but sometimes there's like a variation of that product that just is not really seen as much. The first one that kind of came to mind is actually an electronic product, but the mechanism is mechanical. And it's hair dryers that wind up your cable. So, you know, like when you have a hair dryer with a really long wire, sometimes it can be kind of a mess to like store it under your sink or something. There's usually sometimes a button for some hair dryers where you press it and it'll wind up the whole wire to just insert it back into the hair dryer, which makes it that's super so convenient. Yeah. And hair dryers are not the only ones, but that's the one I've seen most fascinating, especially when I go to like hotels or something and the hair dryers are really conveniently stashed away somewhere.
Yeah, I imagine that would be really useful for a vacuum cleaner too, because those tend to have really long cables.
Oh, that's limited so storage true space. Yeah, I'm always like spending a minute at least like winding up the whole cable. Yeah. Another one that I was thinking about, something that I'd seen recently, and I was thinking about a boba lid. So we've seen all types of boba lids. We've seen the ones where like they laminate it on top and it's
like a plastic film. Like,
yeah, exactly. But recently at this one boba shop that I like to go to, La Tea, which actually our friends at Tubby Nugget collaborated with, they have this plastic boba lid where basically there's like a stopper. And you probably have seen stoppers at like normal coffee shops to help you not spill. But this stopper is connected. It has like a little, I guess, wire, and it's connected to the lid. And so you can take it off really easily. And there's like a little tab for you to just quickly take it off. And then there's a spot, like an indent in another part of the lid that will let you just place it there. And it's nice because in case you do need the stopper again, there's no way you're going to lose it. It's attached to the lid and you can just take it off there and then put it back into the place that needs to get stopped. And the hole is obviously the size of a boba straw. I think that's something that we haven't gotten to see, and that's why the plastic film worked really well, but it also prevents the messiness of like the plastic film being cracked open too much and letting something out.
I wonder if they make those plastic boba lids, if they make it in different sizes, because I imagine if you want to keep the lid but put it on a mug or something, like that would be kind of cool if you could have like a reusable one.
That's true. Maybe the dark side of making this lid and like making this popular would be, you would have to buy the matching cup, plastic cup, reuse a single-use cup to use this lid. So I could imagine that's something too. One that's maybe kind of TMI is a squatty potty. So squatty potty is pretty much just like sort of like a stool that you can put your feet on top of. And it usually is designed so if it can be slid to fit the toilet seat. And so it usually has like a curve for like where the toilet foundation is. And then you can put your feet on top. And by putting your feet on top, it actually then straightens out your like colon, your intestinal tract, so that you actually can go number two more easily. And every time I use a squatty potty, I have a much better time and I get out of the bathroom much faster.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've actually heard that, you know, a lot of people don't like, and there are some countries where instead of sitting on the toilet seat, you actually just kind of crouch down on the floor.
Asia.
Mm-hmm. I've actually found, like, I've heard that that's actually a much more ergonomic or like better way for your body to like use
No, exactly. I think that's the only thing for that is that if you're not used to doing that kind of squatting, it can be really tiring, especially if you need to go for a long time. Yeah. So the squatty potty is nice because then you can still take advantage of like the toilet seat of like if you need to sit on it. And then, but then your legs are elevated to the correct position. Another thing that I've thought about is how there's all these different types of bras, and there's something called a sports bra that you can wear when you're doing exercise and whatnot. And Blogilates has this really funny TikTok about problems that only quote unquote fit girls will understand. And it's the struggle of taking off your sports bra because you're so sweaty, you're so tired and sore. And then this sports bra is like so tight on your body and you are just struggling to get it off. So I have gotten a sports bra with a zipper in the front. So literally all I have to do is pull down the zipper and it's just off of me, which is just really, really convenient.
That's true. Why are the clasps for bras always on the
back? Yeah, I don't know. I think it's purely for aesthetic reasons because clasps seem to be not pretty to look at. But the zipper, I think, kind of matches the utilitarian feel of a sports bra. And so it actually it wouldn't look bad if I just happened to only wear the sports bra.
Right. And also with the sports bra, sometimes people don't wear a shirt on top of it. So the zipper won't be bulgy or like awkward under your shirt. That's really clever.
Yeah. And then the last one that I recently found out about through TikTok is something called the Easy Jar Opener. It's pretty much this wedge that you can attach to the bottom of a cabinet, and it's used to open jars. And so pretty much all those jars that you have trouble opening with just your hands, you just slide it into the wedge and it should match. It's customizable pretty much because it has varying diameters that you can fit a jar through. And then you just twist, and the twisting is not with your hand anymore. It's with the wedge itself. And so that's kind of nice because it has a better grip than your hand might.
That's very useful. Oh, so fun. I love how you talked about like food related things, fashion related things.
Yeah.
You have a lot of different products.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear what design you found to be very pleasing and helpful in your life.
Okay, I'm going to share the product. And also, I tried to think about products that I observed outside the US that I thought were like particularly interesting. So the first one is from Korea. I remember when I went shopping, they would always give me these face covers and or like masks to put on before I put on the clothes. And that's so smart because then my makeup doesn't get on the collar of the shirt. And I just can't believe people in the US don't do that because I imagine that makeup
all over shirts that are in shops all the time.
Yeah. You know, now that people are used to wearing masks and stuff, I imagine it's not too much of a ask to have people wear a face cover or an additional mask that covers their whole face when trying on clothes. That was a really clever one. There's one from China. There's like a Chinese restaurant called Hai Di Lao, which is a hot pot restaurant. When you're eating hot pot, one of the problems you experience is that there's a lot of steam. You might be kind of like leaning over the table to like cook something, reach over someone else. And for people with longer hair, it's so annoying when you don't have a hair tie to bring your hair back. So when you go into the restaurant, they actually give you a hair tie if you have longer hair. That's not like mechanical design. It's more of like a customer service idea.
Interesting that you're sharing about two services so far that you really appreciated. And it's not really like a new design necessarily, but just a courtesy almost that has been implemented in the culture.
Right. Like the product exists. It's just a matter of when you offer it as a service. Actually, a third related one, just that now that we're talking about it, I was recently at a hotel where the concierge or the front desk folks offered like free bottles of water. And I was just thinking about like when you're traveling and it's a long day and it's really hot, the last thing you want to do is like spend $5 on a bottle of water from a vending machine, especially because bottled water, if you buy it in bulk, is so cheap. And so it was just so delightful to be offered like a free bottle of water by the hotel. And it's so inexpensive a service for them, right? It's easy to store. It's very cheap for them to buy. Anyways, that was a great experience. Okay. There is another product that I saw when I was in Japan. It's like a water bottle pouch. So often when it's really hot and you want to drink a cold drink, it gets hot really quickly because the air is really hot and also your hands are really hot and the condensation gets your hands all wet. So what people do is they have a water bottle pouch where it's this like...
It's hard to describe, right? I was kind of feeling that when I was describing my products.
All right. It's just like a little pouch with a strap on top that you can put on your shoulder. It's like a handbag, but where there's a strap, but the bag part of the handbag is a pouch for your water bottle. And so it keeps the water, it keeps the drink cool, and it keeps your hands dry. And that was just so useful.
What, were you getting this at like a particular place, or was this something that you just saw a lot of people carrying around?
Oh, a lot of people carried it, and you could get it at a lot of convenience stores in Tokyo.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Very cool. Very cool.
Another one, which I believe is from the US, is different colored shopping baskets depending on your level of interest in talking to store associates. And so when you're shopping, sometimes you really want help and you really want to chat it up with people. And other times you know what you want. You don't want people to interrupt you. Maybe you're just having a bad day and you don't want to talk. So you go into the store and you can pick one of two baskets, and the color of the basket indicates your interest in talking to people. And Uber actually implemented a similar idea where I think if you have the non-basic Uber, if you have like a more like expensive Uber, you can indicate whether you want the driver to talk to you or not, because it can be kind of awkward if the driver wants to talk to you and you don't want to talk, but you don't want to shut them down. I just thought that was so funny. I think the idea works really well because the basket is really big, and so people can see it from far away and know to not even approach you.
What store did you see this in?
I don't remember. It must have been like a makeup or clothing store, not a grocery store in the US.
Yeah. If anyone remembers that store, let me know, because now I want to go to that store, because I never want anyone to talk to me.
Oh, yeah. The last one I wanted to talk about is a foldable measuring spoon, which I also saw when I was traveling in Japan. Okay, so your typical measuring spoon is round. The sides are rounded like a bowl, or it's like the sides are kind of vertical and it's kind of like a cup instead of a spoon. And so this foldable measuring spoon, it's actually just one flat piece of plastic. And somehow this flat piece of plastic can measure four different standard amounts of solids and liquids. And it does that because it has these perforations on it. So when you pinch it, you can pinch it along different lines and it forms these little like, it's like origami. It forms these little spoons.
It forms like a well.
Like a well. Yeah, exactly. And so I think this works really well because, one, it's really easy for storage. With measuring spoons, they're always kind of an awkward shape and you can't really store that many things around it. And there's so many. Two, with measuring spoons, if you lose one of them, you have to rebuy the entire set. Whereas with this foldable measuring spoon, you can kind of, you have one thing and you can create all the different sizes. Thirdly, this is great because it's very easy to clean. Whereas with like a normal measuring spoon, you have to like dig into the corners of it to get everything out. With this, you just unfold it and it lies flat and it's really easy to scrub. It's really weighty in your hand, and so it feels like very substantial. And then when you pinch it, it just, you know when you use physical products and there's like that magnetic, like the sensation of it kind of just like pinching together like very quickly. I don't know. It's just like a very delightful experience. Like pinch it and unpinch it. It's like very fun. And also you can use it for other things. Like if you're in a pinch and you don't have a butter knife, you could use the spoon to like spread butter or spread jam on something.
So versatile. Yeah. I think out of all these that you've talked about, I definitely need the foldable measuring spoon because I've been baking a lot more.
Yeah. I had one other design that I forgot to mention. It was from when I was traveling in Sweden. A lot of their homes were a little bit smaller, and so they needed a really effective way to transform like one furniture into different types of furniture, or to also store it in a more efficient way. There was like a family who I visited there, and after they finished dinner, they were able to stack all of their table and their chairs in a way that it fit into this like small box they just put into the corner and used as like a desk in the corner. I love following those Instagram accounts where it's like tiny homes or like tiny home hacks and how people, it's really fun.
Yeah, that reminds me of like the Murphy bed, which I've actually never seen in person. Do you know what it is?
No.
Basically, you have your bed, but it is attached to the wall in some way so that when you're done with the bed, you can fold it up and like put it back into the wall as like a closet almost. And so that frees up all your space. I've never actually seen it in person, but I feel like that's a very, I've seen it in a lot of like sitcoms and TV shows actually.
Yeah.
And I've always wondered why I've never seen that, because that seems like a really good use of the space, but maybe it has to do with maybe the comfort of the bed is like not as great if it has to be stored in some way. I'm not sure.
Or I also imagine that there's less flexibility in how you arrange your room.
Yeah.
Because the bed is built into your wall, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Uh-huh. And I've recently seen that there's this new, maybe like apartment complex or this new company that builds these beds that are like levitated up to the ceiling, and then you use a remote and it brings down your bed, but not only that, it also brings down storage. And so like there's like all these drawers where I hold your clothes and stuff that you can bring down, and then you, when you're done with it, you bring it back all the way up and it gets stored into the ceiling, and that frees up your whole room to be used as like an office space or something.
Wow,
and so you effectively only need like a studio rather than a two-bedroom apartment,
right?
If you wanted two separate spaces for that. I just wasn't sure how safe that was.
Yeah.
Was one question I had. What are some confusing or deceitful designs that you've seen in your life? One that I heard about through a documentary called The Social Dilemma, which is all about talking about social apps and how they are so deceitful, is the pull to refresh action that you do on your phone all the time. It's like done everywhere, right? It's done on web pages, it's done on social apps. That's actually emulating the motion of slot machines. So like when you go gambling. And so if you can imagine, gambling is a very addictive thing for people to do. So it's interesting because like, I guess the motion, even if you maybe haven't never played with a slot machine, that motion is just something that a lot of people and society is very used to doing and associates with addiction subconsciously, that you will just continue to like, you know, keep refreshing to get new content and to find out, waiting for that email to come into your inbox and stuff. That's been like a really interesting thought. And I'm like, I don't know how you can like not do pull to refresh in this day and age, because every phone does that at this point. But maybe just having a level of awareness is kind of helpful. Another thing that I kind of get annoyed at is making online purchases, because a lot of times when you make online purchases, they automatically sign you up for their mailing list, and then my inbox gets flooded with all this spam, especially from places that I may have only wanted to shop there for one thing ever. And so I find that really inconvenient, because I like to keep my inbox at zero and it's kind of annoying to have to get all these emails at the start of every single day or at the end of every single day. And to then, if it bothers me enough, then I have to go in and actively, proactively unsubscribe. And then even that can sometimes be a laborious process of it opens a whole new web page. And then it says, I have to like do all these checkboxes of like, why are you unsubscribing? And it's like, well, I never wanted to subscribe in the first place. And so this actually discourages me from making a lot of online purchases.
And when you're unsubscribing, they often have the tricky like flipped question where you check the box thinking that you're unsubscribing, but you're actually resubscribing
to everything.
Yeah, you have
to read really, really carefully when you do those things. So I usually try to set aside time to just knock a ton of them out at once by just leaving them in my inbox, so that I'm reminded that I was very bothered by these for many, many days at this point. Did you see all that stuff about that PSA about Instagram, and how if you have like, I don't know, like if you update it to the new iOS, like they not only track they track your precise location, and so you have to go into your settings in order to change it to never share my location. So when you like geotag, I think, and when you geotag now, I think if you press on it, it actually could show people's precise locations rather than like the general area that they're in.
My gosh.
not doing the best in terms of their PR, but that was something I had seen, and that is really scary, because I feel like we oftentimes want to take advantage of the app's full potential to do a lot of things and not have to, you know, every single time, like, give a permission to something. But right. it kind of feels like we're at that stage where we have to be a lot more diligent and careful whenever we make updates or even things that are unrelated to the app. Because with an iOS update, you could accidentally be giving permission to this app that hasn't alerted you about any of those changes. So
totally. You would assume that these big companies encrypt your data, not release your like personal identifying information. But a couple years ago, Uber and Lyft both got in trouble because their employees could just log into their database and see unencrypted information about people's names and where they were traveling to. So people were stalking their exes, but were seeing like where they were going, like, oh yeah, this person like went to, you know, like a fertility clinic or something really personal. And also if you think about Instagram and how they recently, I think it was Facebook Messenger, there was a young girl who I think was wanting to get abortion medication, and then she lived in a state where that was not okay. And yeah, Messenger just handed over that conversation to the local government, and she got in big trouble for talking to her friend or to her mom or to someone about, you know, seeking an abortion.
Oh my goodness.
So it's like anything that I go, like a doctor's clinic or Planned Parenthood or something that I can go to, it seems very innocuous to me, but I could get in trouble. You know, depending on how the country's policies change, I could one day get in trouble for going to check in on my health like that.
Yeah, for sure. Wow. I'm also thinking about like physical design that is confusing or deceitful and annoying. And I was thinking about just the concept of hot and cold water on sinks and showers. A lot of times when I go visit a friend and I'm staying with them, one of the things that they walk me through is how to use their shower.
I was just thinking that when I go to a hotel, what I'm most stressed about is figuring out the shower.
The shower, because not only do you need to figure out how to turn on the shower head or not turn on the shower head, you also have to figure out which direction is hot and which direction is cold. You know, I was in a hotel recently where they had two shower heads. There was like one that was like overhead and then like a tiny one that was like the one that has a cable and everything. And I just wanted the water to come out of one of them. I don't need the water to come out of both of them, and I could never figure it out. And so I just had this shower head that was spraying water onto my back for no good reason.
Oh my gosh.
And then a very weak shower head on top. I was waiting for it to come down onto me like rain.
Yeah. Oh, that's so wasteful that you didn't even need that water.
Yeah. And along the same lines, I actually really hate automatic sinks. I think they never work the way that you expect them to, and they're never even consistent across sinks in the same bathroom. Like when you go to like a movie theater and if they have like an automatic sink, I'm like going down the line to see like which one is going to give me the automatic soap that I need and then which one's going to give me the automatic water that I need.
Right. I think what's interesting about those is that the sensor is typically below the faucet. And so it makes sense because that's where your hands would be. But the problem is you don't put your hands there until you see the sensor, but you can't see the sensor because it's covered by the faucet. Like, yeah. That's like really bad design. Showers and faucets are such common things, and it's surprising to me that there isn't like a standard across all of them.
Yeah, you would think. Like, I feel like I used to believe that right was always cold and then left was hot, but that's not consistent.
So weird, especially because these faucet companies, like, they have no benefit from differentiating from each other, right? I think the more consistent they are, the better. Like, go differentiate in, like, I don't know, the shape aesthetics, of the faucet or the aesthetic or something. Like, don't change up left and right on me. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's not really a standard design of indicating that too. Like, the only thing that's standard is that red is hot and then blue is cold. But then sometimes I've seen, like, have you seen, like, sometimes you have those, like, one knob faucets where it has... And it's like crystallized or something. And then they have like a line that slowly increases in width. And it's like H up here. And then like it increases in width this way. And it's a C. Okay, but which direction is that if I'm like rotating this? If I am rotating this knob.
And they don't have like an arrow that shows you where the pointer is. Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's annoying. For restaurants, what always baffles me is the amount of back and forth it takes to pay for your meal. Like, you ask for the check, they bring over the check, you put down your card and they take it. Number four, they give you the receipt. Number five, you write the tip and you walk away. And the fact that you always have to physically write out the tip and then, and here's the mystery, right? when I get a credit card charge, it only covers like the amount that I swiped, which is pre the tip. And so I never actually see the tip charge on my credit card ever. And also on the restaurant side, they have to take the tip number that I wrote and type it down somewhere associated with my card. I just don't know how that is a system that was ever in place and is still a thing. I would love for someone who works in the restaurant industry to like help me understand why they would choose to do that. Like, it seems like physical like card readers where they hand it to me, I put in my card and I type in the tip. That just seems so much more convenient for everyone.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess this is like a very US thing too, because I feel like a lot of places like you don't give tip for food and stuff, because in Korea you don't wait for the person to come and you ask for the check. You just go up and you're like, okay, I'm done with my meal. Here's the checkout area.
I see.
Much like a grocery store or any other shopping experience, which I think is nice because then you just are there and you can immediately do all those transactions. And it's also shorter because you don't have to include tip or anything.
Yeah,
totally. It must be really burdensome for a waiter to have to remember the steps, like what status each table is at, of this check process, of this checkout process. Because then they have to remember, like, I just put down the check, they need to put down their card, and I need to come back to, at a timely manner, to come back and get it.
Right.
And then I have to go back in order to give them their receipts.
And funny enough, it's some of these, like, quote-unquote higher-end restaurants that rely on this paper method. But I actually think it's like a really annoying aspect of service. Like I'm waiting for the back and forth. The server is waiting for the back and forth and trying to keep track of it. So I just think it's a lose-lose for everyone. So if you're listening to this and you have any experience about why this is actually a good method, please let me know. Because every time I go to a restaurant, I'm annoyed when this happens.
Yeah. Thanks so much for sharing, especially because you brought in a lot of examples from other places around the world. I think that was really cool to hear about. And thanks for sharing your frustration with the restaurant process and everything. This kind of encourages me to, again, be more alert and aware about my surroundings and the way that things are conducted. You know this, but something that I hate as a reason that people sometimes give for decisions or why things are the way they are is that, one, it's just the way that things are, and two, it's the right way because it's how it's been done for many years. And so I feel like this episode hopefully can encourage others the way it's encouraging me right now to be more aware and to stop and just think like, like I wonder what the history was behind this decision, and I wonder what would make it actually a better, more pleasing experience for everyone.
If you enjoyed this episode, we are linking some other episodes that you might enjoy about the design of social media apps and tools. So go check that one out. You'll definitely like that one too. And if you found any part of this episode fun or insightful, please think of a friend who might also enjoy it and let them know that we are on every podcasting platform. And it would be fun for you two to talk about this episode later together and maybe even come up with other designs that you like or dislike. And as always, if you have any questions or feedback or ideas, we're always excited to hear from you. So you can DM us on Instagram at Bamboo and Glass, or also on TikTok at Bamboo and Glass.
Yeah, Sophia's been posting a lot on TikTok, guys.
Yes, I've been having a lot of fun.
Her voice.
Yeah, also like let us know what would be fun to hear specifically on TikTok, and we can experiment with it and try it out. But yeah, thank you everyone, and we will chat with you next Sunday. Bye.